Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott.
Peace is not just the absence of war. Conflict is a normal part of our life. It's, you know, we're different. We have conflict with each other. But how do we manage that conflict? If we look at conflict as something normal, it's an opportunity for us to learn and to grow. It's very difficult to teach people about human rights also, because for someone to ask for their rights, they're taking a big risk. They could risk being deported, they could risk being jailed, they could risk separation from family members. I wanted to do faith-based service. My service is an extension of my spirituality, my faith commitment, and I also wanted it to be a holistic service, you know, not to be so compartmentalized. My faith in this compartment, my service here, but to really live a commitment.
Tell me and I forget. Show me and I remember. Involve me and I understand. This Chinese proverb eloquently expresses the experiences of many of the Mary Knoll missioners and volunteers currently serving around the globe. Whether in Mexico, Vietnam, Namibia, or their own local communities in the U.S., Mary Knoll missioners and volunteers seek not only to help, but to get involved in the lives of those they serve, with the hope of sharing cultures, languages, and beliefs. Our world today is full of opportunities for anyone looking to give their time to the causes of peace, equality, and justice. And volunteering to help others can often be an effective way to not only make the world a better place, but to enrich one's own life spiritually and culturally as well. Join us as we speak with Mary Knoll missioner Amy Braun in Bangkok, Thailand, about how simply volunteering to help those in need has led her down a path of cultural and spiritual awareness that has changed her life and her world. That's today on Voices of Our World. Mary Knoll volunteers and lay missioners serve in economically poor communities in Africa, Asia, and the Americas, responding to basic needs and helping to create a more just and compassionate world. Many of their service projects address the issues of civil and human rights, education, healthcare, and sustainable environmental development worldwide. As peace and justice advocates from all over the U.S., Mary Knoll volunteers and lay missioners work within each of their host countries to teach new perspectives and ways to achieve solidarity based on mutual respect and sharing. Our producer, Michael Ramadan Jones, recently sat down with Mary Knoll lay missioner Amy Braun in Bangkok, Thailand, to hear her story on how she went from Mary Knoll volunteer to lay missioner, as well as the remarkable experiences she's had and the extraordinary people she's met along the way. Here's his interview.
I'm here in Bangkok with Amy Braun, Mary Knoll lay missioner, and we're here just to talk about your path, the road from volunteer to lay missioner for Mary Knoll. Give us a little bit of background about how you got involved with Mary Knoll.
I first learned about Mary Knoll when I was in college. I was studying at Notre Dame and studying biology. And through a friend, I began to get more involved in the Center for Social Concerns there. So they have many programs about community service, Catholic social teaching, social action. So I began to get a bit more involved there. And I found out about an international summer service learning program, kind of like overseas volunteer service for the summer period. And a friend of mine had done a service project the previous year, and she encouraged me to apply. And because I was studying Spanish at the time, I had wanted to go to South America, but that program was full. And so the director asked if I would like to go to Cambodia. And I thought, Cambodia, well, sure, why not? So I decided to just go and give it a try and see what I could do there. And I was placed with the Mary Knoll community in Cambodia. I was there for about 8 weeks, living and working with the Mary Knollers in Cambodia. And my main job was to teach summer school English at the Royal University of Phnom Penh. And I had two classes that met Monday through Friday. And then I also helped out with some of the other projects, some of their HIV/AIDS work, working with the children, and also doing some teaching to the staff at a deaf person's organization.
Now, you're originally from the Midwest, or what's it, Indiana,
I'm
right?
From Indianapolis, Indiana, yes.
How does someone from, let's say, the Midwest, the breadbasket, find an interest or take interest in these remote areas of the world, whether it be Cambodia or South America? What called you to kind of leave the homeland and go abroad? Did you have something inside of you that said, I want to go see the world? What was it, a wanderlust? What made the overseas experience so appealing to you?
I think it started off with an interest in traveling, seeing what was beyond my own neighborhood outside of Indiana. I had never lived or spent a long period of time outside of Indiana before. So it was just a curiosity about the world, I think, and wanting to know more.
Did your parents or family think you were crazy?
A little bit, yeah.
What did you tell them you were doing?
I told them I was doing a service project over the summer through school, and I think that was reassuring to them that it was something through school and that I would be well taken care of. So
you arrive in Cambodia, and what is your talk about your first impressions of being in some place so far away?
I was totally stunned. It was nothing like anything I had ever seen or experienced before. I was, I think, overwhelmed by a lot of different factors. There was the intense heat that I wasn't used to, so many people. The infrastructure in Cambodia is, of course, not as developed as in Indianapolis. Also the poverty, the living conditions that people were in there, and the effects of many, many years of war and also genocide are still very felt and very present in Cambodia. So all of these things had a very big impact on me, and it was very shocking for me when I first arrived.
How did they receive you as a foreigner there? I mean, were you welcomed with open arms? Was there suspicion?
People were, I think, very open and friendly. I didn't sense a lot of suspicion. There is difficulty communicating, of course, because I didn't speak Khmer, and some people could speak English. But I think when I kind of expressed what my intention was, why I was there. I was helping at the university with the English program, and then people were very warm and welcoming and wanting to show me their country, and they were proud to show me their country and proud that someone was taking an interest in Cambodia and their lives there.
You're listening to Voices of Our World, a weekly program exploring the issues of human rights and social justice around the world. Visit our website at voicesofourworld.org to learn more about Voices of Our World and Mary Knoll. Now back to our interview from Bangkok, Thailand, with Mary Knoll lay missioner Amy Braun. This is Voices of Our World.
So after your first taste of life abroad, for that limited summer course, what made you, obviously it awoke a desire in you to continue this type of work. Mm-hmm. How then did you transform that desire into reality with Mary Knoll?
It was something that I had been thinking about for a while. When I was in Cambodia, I was learning things about, you know, globalization, how what I was eating, wearing, consuming every day had a negative impact on people in Cambodia and in other countries of the world. And so I was carrying kind of some guilt about my lifestyle, questioning why I had this and other people didn't, some anger at the injustice of the system. And so I think it took a process of a couple years to figure out what my direction would be and how to turn that into something more productive.
What was it about Mary Knoll in particular that you found most appealing in some ways? Was there a particular approach or a history that was that you thought was in some ways in line with the kind of service you wanted to do?
I was impressed with the Mary Knoll Missioners because their program is for 3.5 years, and so they really focus on learning the language in the country, learning the culture, trying to insert yourself in the community as much as possible and really be a part of things.
I mean, the jump from 3 months to 3.5 years is pretty serious. And what reservations did you have? I mean, were you so confident that this was the route that you wanted to go that you're willing to, and many people would say, forsake all the luxuries and the lucrative opportunities that await a college student or a college graduate here in America, that's a very serious commitment you've made to take that time at those 3.5 years, as well as to learning another language. What were some of your fears, or were there no fears?
There were fears, of course. I was afraid of being gone for such a long time. I was afraid of not being able to adjust. And fear of the unknown, not really knowing what I was getting into, because it is one thing to go someplace for just a few months, you know. 3 years is much different. Fear of also going there and not being happy and wanting to go home after making a big commitment, a discernment process, and then, you know, what if it doesn't work out?
So you decided to do this 3 years, and let's talk about the first project you got involved with Mary Knoll, once you came to the field. What was that project, and what was your role in the project?
The first project was called Ban Ponsawan, and that's a child development center for indigenous children, or hill tribe children, in Chiang Mai in the north of Thailand. And my role there was to work in the community outreach program. So I would go out and do community visits with a co-worker, and we would visit the families of the children and also visit the children when they were at home to make families more involved in their children's education and try to help them be more tied to the center.
When you first started working with the hill tribes in Ban Ponsawan, did you find that you had some kind of preconceptions or kind of ideas that were, or myths that may have been debunked instantly once you started to work in these communities? What were the first changes you started to notice in yourself vis-a-vis the work in this community?
There is a lot of discrimination against the indigenous people in Thailand, and so I had heard about the people are backwards, what their agriculture destroys the forest. I mean, just a lot of bad things about the indigenous people in Thailand and how they're not developed, and many different stereotypes. And working with them, I saw that it wasn't the case at all. Their way of agriculture, for example, is very sustainable, and the few places in Thailand that still have well-managed forests are where the indigenous people live. Where other people, the businesses, the Thai people have taken over, those forests are almost gone now. And also it changed my idea of what is development. Development doesn't mean just like me. The hill tribe people have their own spirituality, their own practices, their own culture. And those things are very developed in their way, and they're very beautiful cultural practices and spirituality. And so that changed my idea of what is development.
So you started at Ban Ponsawan, which is a school in the north of Thailand, northern Thailand, northwest area of Thailand, working with indigenous hill tribe children, families, etc., helping them to get a foot up in the educational system here in Thailand, which is in many ways the gateway into being a productive citizen, an adult, and even being a person that counts in the official sense of the word. What was your next step after Ban Ponsawan?
My next step was to go further north, actually.
Oh, okay.
I worked in a small town called Mesai, and that's the northernmost town in Thailand. It's right on the border with Burma. And I worked with a Thai organization that did anti-human trafficking work.
We'll get back to Amy's time in Burma shortly, but now it's your turn. Tell us about your own volunteer experiences. Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Or you can call us at 877-MARYKNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World. Welcome back to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and MARYKNOLL. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Today, we're coming to you from the city of Bangkok, Thailand, where we're speaking with MARYKNOLL lay missioner Amy Braun about her time in Southeast Asia. Wikipedia defines the word volunteering as the practice of people working on behalf of others without being motivated by financial or material gain. Volunteering is generally considered an altruistic activity intended to promote good or improve human quality of life. Volunteering takes many forms and is performed by a wide range of people. Many volunteers are specifically trained in the areas they work in, such as medicine, education, or emergency rescue. In other words, there are many ways to help people, either working alone or with others. In fact, many of our past guests on Voices of Our World have dedicated their resources and time to help those in need, such as a 13-year-old boy from Arizona who used his love of basketball to help AIDS orphans in Africa, and a Philadelphia rabbi who helps organize aid shipments for Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza. And although the current financial crisis may make it more difficult for some to donate their money to worthy causes, there are many other non-financial ways you can help. Children's books and clothing, educational materials, and even your life or career experience can all be invaluable to those in need. So before you think that there's nothing you can do to make the world better, think again. Now back to our interview with Mary Knoll Lay Missioner Amy Braun about how volunteering abroad has impacted her life. This is Voices of Our World.
We've had Burmese issues as well as Burmese citizens on our show previously, and the human rights issues in the border region and in their country at large is a, let's just say, is not the most humane. When you were on the border there, explain how was that a hard adjustment to make to go from Chiang Mai to an even more rural, almost more desperate situation?
Yeah, this was definitely a shift. Maasai is kind of it's a border town. So there are many people coming and going from Burma, from Laos, from southern China, indigenous groups also. And so some people are coming from very harsh conditions in their home country. And they also find difficult conditions when they get into Thailand because they don't have identification. Maybe they've entered illegally. Maybe they have grounds to be a refugee, but they're not granted refugee status. And so their lives continue to be uncertain even when they enter Thailand. So there are people in Maasai who live very insecure lives, and some of them have experienced a great deal of trauma also.
A lot of our listeners may not be familiar with the migrant worker situation in Asia, in Southeast Asia in particular. What is the migrant situation, if you could almost encapsulate it a little bit for our audience?
Okay. I think the situation of most migrants is one of uncertainty, especially if they're illegal. The migrants have the lowest paying jobs. They are not given minimum wage. They're frequently harassed by police, and if they're illegal, they're often taken advantage of by their employers, because the employers can use the threat of deportation to prevent the migrant workers from asking what is their rightful due, such as minimum wage or a day off, for example.
Were they even familiar with the concept of human rights? I mean, it's, if you've been exploited and treated as almost inhumanely, like as they have been, how do you almost build the self-esteem up to realize that I need to be treated as a human? Is that a challenge?
It can be a challenge. Many people haven't heard of the concept of human rights. They know they're being treated unjustly, but for so long it's been the way of things for them. And they know they're illegal in the country, and so they don't know how to ask for their rights. They don't know what recourse they have, and it's very difficult for to teach people about human rights also, because for someone to ask for their rights, they're taking a big risk. They could risk being deported, they could risk being jailed, they could risk separation from family members.
Let's fast forward then. You know, you were spending 2 years on the border with Burma, spend a year in Chiang Mai in the north helping with community outreach and children and families. Now you're in Bangkok, you know, a city of 10 million. It's steamy, skyscrapers everywhere,
yeah.
Unimaginable smells, both good and bad. Talk about your involvement in the projects that Mary Knoll does here in Bangkok, and maybe how that's been another shift in your time here.
Yeah, it's been good for me. I've experienced many different parts of Thailand, Chiang Mai, then a rural area, and now in Bangkok. So it's a bit of a coming home for me also, because I did my language school in Bangkok. This is where I first started out. But I'm working with AMAN, which is the Asian Muslim Action Network. And AMAN is the acronym. It also means peace in Arabic. And this is a group of progressive Muslims in Asia who are working to promote the engagement of Muslim civil society, working for social justice, working for peace, promoting right understanding of Islam as a religion of peace in Asia.
That is a loaded sentence right there, because many people would say, well, Islam is not a religion of peace. Many people, in fact, in America may have that opinion. But you're in your work with working with Muslims in general in the Islamic community, how has it really changed or challenged your original the stereotype that many Americans may have right now for the Islamic community?
It's changed my thinking in many ways also. I've found Islam really to be a religion of peace, a very deep spirituality, a very deep faith commitment among the people that I'm working with. And they're regular people. The religion of Islam is not so different from Catholicism, Christianity. We come from the same Abrahamic tradition.
This is Voices of Our World, a weekly program dedicated to the issues of human rights, poverty, and social justice. Visit our website at voicesofourworld.org to learn more about Voices of Our World and Mary Knoll. Our Spanish language radio program, Voces de Nuestro Mundo, is now available. Visit www.vocesdenuestromundo.org for more information about the program. We now conclude our interview from Bangkok, Thailand, with Mary Knoll lay missioner Amy Braun. You're listening to Voices of Our World.
Did you find, after working with, so to speak, in more hands-on communities and outreach, this is kind of a spiritual level of where you're working with building peace and building kind of, this is almost intellectual, if you will, trying to change people's mindsets as opposed to their physical conditions they're living in, mm-hmm. although there's a connection between the two. How have you taken to this kind of work as compared to the more, let's say, in the field, hands-on stuff? This is almost like you've done a peace studies course. Oman has a magazine, for example. How have you taken to this shift? It's another of the many shifts that have taken place here, it seems.
Yeah, I'm involved with a variety of things at Aman. One is helping with their peace studies course, peace education. I also work with the Urban Refugees Program at Aman. So we visit asylum seekers that have come to try to get refugee status, and they come from very conflict-ridden areas. We have some from Iraq, Sri Lanka, Afghanistan, many different areas.
And in your work with the peace studies course that I had the pleasure of attending actually a few weeks ago, the goal is to foster a world in which interfaith dialogue takes place and understanding and promoting and nurturing this kind of community, this global community of faith. How much closer to that goal do you think you are right now via your work here?
I think it's one step at a time, and every step does bring us closer. Because people that participate in the peace studies program, myself included, are changed after they finish the course. And the biggest change takes place from interacting with people who are different from you, who you didn't know before. I think for me, it's the first time that I had ever met someone from Afghanistan. And many people in the program had that kind of experience as well. People coming from areas of historical conflict with each other are now making friends with people from that region, making friends with people from different religions and learning about the religion, learning about what we have in common and what we want together, the kind of world that we want to build together. That's what the Peace Studies course is really about.
And when you work with Aman, now that you're here in Bangkok, and what do you see as almost for your future? Do you kind of work haven't you done that you'd like to get involved in, or are there many things here that you still need to have done before you think about that even?
Well, I'll be here for at least 2 or 3 more years, so I'm thinking about that mostly right now. But I think in the future I would like to be involved in peace work.
Well, you just said a very interesting peace work. It's one of the things the conference taught me the course just taught me by being there was that peace is hard work. That it is not something that is wished for and just happens. There's an entire studies to it, literally. It's a science almost. It's What have you learned about the process of making peace?
Mm-hmm. Peace is not just the absence of war. Conflict is a normal part of our life. It's, you know, we're different. We have conflict with each other. But how do we manage that conflict? If we look at conflict as something normal, it's an opportunity for us to learn and to grow. And so peace really does take work. It takes.
Uh-huh. Now, for my last question, tell me, you know, all these experiences you've had here, this almost like a lifetime of experience in such a short amount of time here, how did that come out of just your short time volunteering? Was the volunteer program at Mary Knoll really the jump-off point for this, for all these wonderful things you've been involved with?
I think the seed really was planted during the volunteer program. I was at a point in my life where I was ready for a shift, and I was open to seeing things. And so it was a very pivotal point in my formation. And I think many things grew from that. And I didn't know at the time what would come of it. So when I was in the volunteer program, I was still thinking maybe I would study biology and do research for the rest of my life. And, you know, that has totally changed. So,
well, do you have any sort of words of wisdom or advice for those young people or old people or middle-aged people who might be considering doing some work or volunteering as you have?
Yeah, I would say no matter what stage in life you're in, whether you're a recent graduate, even still in college, if you're mid-career, retired, do consider volunteering. It's a risk, but it's well worth it, and you'll discover things about yourself, you'll learn about a new culture, you'll learn about ways that you can give to others that you never knew that you had, ways that you didn't know that you could be of service.
Amy Braun, thank you so much for being on Voices of Our World.
Thanks, Mike.
Add your voice to the mix and let us know about your own volunteer experiences. Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org, or call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Well, that's it for today's program. You've been listening to Voices of Our World, a weekly program dedicated to the issues of human rights, poverty, and social justice. Mary Knoll Lay Missioner Amy Braun is just one of the many voices of our world. I'm your host for this week's show, Eileen Bott. This program was produced by Michael Ramadan Jones. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Mary Knoll. Please visit our website at www.voicesofourworld.org, where you can listen, learn more about our program, answer our weekly question, or subscribe to our podcast. And please join us next week for more Voices of Our World.